Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny D. Loretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny D. Loretto, and this is Cinema Classics. And John, I pose this question to you. Is the movie musical alive or dead?
Is Les Mis one of the great current musicals?
Yeah, it is. So is it barely alive? Is it on its deathbed and every once in a while, like its vital signs kind of pop up?
I can think of in the last decade only three movies that are musicals that are worth remembering.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Okay.
Les
Mis. Overrated.
Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite musicals of all time. I think around 2001, Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice. That's the one that brought the musical back, I guess you could say. What about this movie recently with Anna Kendrick in it? Do you remember that?
No.
What was it? It was about the girls. It's kind of like a glee club where they sing a cappella.
Yeah, I have seen it. I forgot what the name of it is. Yeah, with that sweetheart blonde kind of indie.
Chubby girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
Anyway, was that a musical? I guess it was. I don't know.
It was well-reviewed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was pretty big hit.
Small film, but I didn't realize it was a musical.
It just popped into my head.
I know.
No, okay. So that movie recently with Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
Which was a hit.
Was that a musical?
It was a musical. I think it was a hit, but neither of us can remember the title.
Yeah, right.
Well, we should probably use the internet right now. But
so Les Mis stimulates us to talk about the musical and perhaps, as you have suggested, maybe the death of the musical.
Yeah. But the death of the musical, like the death of the Western, has been a long time coming. Not that I want to see either of them die. I'm just saying that, you know, over the years, you could probably point to every decade and there are a couple of musicals.
Look, I saw Rex Harrison on Broadway. In My Fair Lady.
I hope not recently.
And back in the 60s. And then I saw it on film, and that was the way it went.
Mm-hmm.
And you got others at the same time in the 60s. You have Mary Poppins. You have The Sound of Music. You have some really fine films made from production, stage productions into film. And that seemed to be the way it's going.
Yeah, today they do it the exact opposite. They take a movie and turn it into a musical.
That's right.
Sometimes they turn it into a book, into a play, into a musical, then back into a movie.
Yes.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to keep track of all the iterations of these things.
So it seems to me that the musical is a product almost of its age.
Yeah.
And almost of its decade.
Well, let's look at the decade, the period at which the musical really starts to convulse in its death throes. And that would be, and this is so unfortunate because Paint Your Wagon, which is the movie that's blamed for the death of the musical, is one of my favorite musicals. When I was a kid, I used to see that movie on TV all the time. And because it was a Western, I would watch it.
Yes, yes.
And I used to love it. And then as I got older and I started becoming aware of cinema history and reading about that movie, I couldn't believe that it was critically panned, that it was a huge flop. And basically, they just said, you know, no more musicals after this.
Well, look, anybody who knows anything about singing knows that Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin can't sing.
But so what?
Which is the very thing I like about it.
Right. That makes certain musical performances endearing.
Oh,
because
they talk it through. The way Richard Harris does in Camelot.
Yeah.
And I love this. I love to hear their beautiful bass voices talking, singing these songs.
Right.
And that reflects a bit of the realism. Musicals are always romantic.
Yeah.
But at the kind that you're talking about, moving into that gritty realism that you're going to see in the 80s.
Well, I love that scene with Lee Marvin singing I Was Born Under a Wandering Star.
Memorable.
And he has that deep baritone and he's talking it.
Yes.
And it's raining and it's muddy. And you just get the real sense of a guy who's thinking to himself and he's singing this song to himself. No one else can hear it but him. It's beautiful. It's one of Lee Marvin's finest moments, I think.
And it's tough to realize that at the same time that was coming out, you had Hello, Dolly.
Yeah, that was a hit.
Not big. Okay. Not a big hit, right? You would think it. You would also have Man of La Mancha.
Huh, big flop. On. That was a huge flop.
Huge stage success.
Mm-hmm.
Film flop.
Right.
And there are many more of them at this
Camelot
time.
Was a flop as
you
well,
got
wasn't it?
You got it. Who would have thought?
I don't know. See, that's weird to me. All these movies, or all these big Broadway musicals that were hits on stage were big movie flops. I wonder if that was happening because at the time you had Hollywood was transitioning from big spectacle sort of family entertainments like the musical and transitioning to more gritty movies like Easy Rider and Five Easy Pieces.
Well, sure, and take a look at Grease.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about one that we've talked about, Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
As you're moving in to that era when we're getting more gritty realism.
Good Lord, this is why this show is awesome. We just stumbled on that. As musicals on Broadway start to thrive, they die in Hollywood because there was this transition to gritty, realistic art. That's right. Amazing.
And some of that...
I'll take credit for that.
Some of that happened because they abandoned the Hays Code in 1968, and so kind of opened up the possibilities for the realism that we're talking about.
See? You're a genius. That's a great observation.
Which doesn't fit exactly with the lyrical romantic notion of musicals. Now, my idea of the almost perfect musical, you'd have to take it back another 30 years or so.
Okay.
And this would be 1942.
Oh, well, it must be a Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire movie.
No, but that's a good... Top Hat, for instance, would be a good choice. But my choice is Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Oh, yeah, James Cagney.
And again, there's Cagney, not a singer, definitely a dancer.
Right, and but a charmer.
Oh, and incredible, and a great story.
And just a force of nature, that guy, performing.
Yeah.
I personally prefer all those. I love those early musicals where there are dance numbers incorporated,
yes,
but the actors are singing. There's a movie called Born to Dance with Jimmy Stewart, and in it, he sings Cole Porter's Easy to Love, which is no, you know, mean feat. That's a tough song to sing. And they said Jimmy Stewart warbled through it. But Cole Porter said it's such a great song, not even Jimmy Stewart can ruin it.
Well, you go back, hey, just to mention, 1939, not a full-fledged musical, as I would think, but certainly the most memorable and the most seen motion picture in motion picture history.
Oh, my.
1939.
Oh, Wizard of Oz.
You got it.
Yeah, great music.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So,
currently having its grave robbed by the Oz the Great and Powerful.
Starring James Franco.
Good Lord.
So that'll give you that. And that isn't even a musical.
I mean, we can't really talk about all these movies, the musicals. We don't have time. You know, we could go decade by decade.
Yeah.
But certainly I think that's a fascinating period where the movie musical begins to just fall off of the commercial radar.
Well, when you start getting together with the Lloyd Webber kind of musicals and the Jesus Christ Superstar, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, you're into a whole new kind of musical. You're into a kind of bizarre world and a world that kind of mixes that realism with fantasy, definitely gets surreal. Midnight showings and so on. You're in a much different world from what you were back in even the 60s that we love and back in the 40s.
Modern musicals, what do you think about Rent?
Well, you know, I like Rent, and it's a good example of one that some people don't like it, there's a divided opinion. I really like it because of its realism and because there is something, I don't know, the cliched uplifting about it, yet something very real. And these are people who are struggling,
right?
And people who are disease ridden and poor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the musical does. And it elevates them up into something that you can see, sympathize with. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
I actually like the movie adaptation of it. I thought it was pretty underrated. Not that I'd ever seen the stage adaptation, but I do like the movie. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So where are we in this?
Well, here's where we are. I mean, we're at the stage where non-musical properties are being hijacked and turned into musical properties.
Okay.
So what do you think of that? Like when you see a movie or a stage production like The Producers, what do you think of those?
Okay, I like them. because they're ingenious. That is, if at least using the example of the producers. I think it's witty. I think it's bizarre. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. And it's musicals. There's a whole combination of things. It's really an oddball, but very attractive to me.
Yeah, I like the idea of repurposing things. Like, you know, it's kind of like often we refer to these instances as idea bankruptcy, right? You don't have a good new idea, so you go to an old good one and turn it into them. But I think there's value in that. I like mining these old properties for new, you know, kind of venues, outlets.
Well, that's why I like Moulin Rouge so much. I think Moulin Rouge has just about everything I've ever liked about a musical, and it is so fantastic and so beautifully photographed that that beginning of our century now was the promise for me that musicals, as you had said earlier, had come back.
But it's interesting because Moulin Rouge, do you think it would have fared as well if it had original music in it? You know, Moulin Rouge pulls from all the great pop classics.
Yeah, and that's something that never bothers me. That's something that endears me to it, that if I can hear those songs from the past, it brings in the past. It's a very romantic notion. So the whole thing is that way for me. And Lerman is just a wonderful director who embraces the exotic, the strange, but the beautiful. Yeah. And when you get Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman at the peak of their careers, beautiful people, well acted, I think you have just about the best musical I've seen.